Okay, so we're in Shaar Bitachon Perek Gimel. It's page Shin Dalid in the Lev Tov. So now the Chavetz Chavavos is, we began moving into the next stage of laying down the premises for our Bitachon. So after the previous chapter where we saw the seven very profound points of to focus on in order to really be able to feel comfortable being in Hashem's hand, he goes now and tells us that knowing, internalizing, understanding and internalizing those seven is step premise number one for Bitachon. There are another five premises. And number one is studying and internalizing those seven. So in order to do that now, he's going to review the seven again. So we began reviewing it, and we saw the first two. Sorry, we saw the first. No, we already saw the first four. We saw the first five. Okay, I'm sorry. We saw the first five. So we're on page Shin Zion. So we'll just recap them briefly. We'll recap the Chavis Alvavis' recap briefly. Number one is to remember that Hashem loves you and cares about you more than anyone else. Any love and care that you've ever experienced is just a little bit of Hashem's love and care for you, channeling, trickling through them. Number two is that Hashem knows better than anyone else, including you, what is really good for you in any given situation. Taking into account the much bigger picture of your neshama, of your future. There's so many aspects of your own welfare that you're unaware of. You're limited to the here and now, to the fairly near future. And you're also limited to understanding, all we can basically understand is our material welfare. But Hashem is factoring in your entire future, your entire past, your entire neshama when he's making any of his decisions for you. So that's number two. He knows much better than you what is best for you. Number three is that he's all-powerful, and therefore, if he decides something is good for you, nothing can stop him from doing it. And number four is that he's constantly focused on you. He never gets distracted by something else. So whenever anything is going on in your life, you understand that this is his plan for you based on his knowledge of what's best for you, not because something haphazard is happening, because he's constantly focused. Number five is that nobody else can affect you in any way. Nobody can hurt you if he doesn't want it. And therefore, anything that's happening is clearly being guided by him. And also, in order to really sense you in Hashem's hands, to also remember the other side of the coin, that nobody can help you if it's not Hashem's plan. And now, we'll see number six. The Hashishi. Number six is, Sheyeda Rav Tuva Elokim Al Adam. This is the point that he made earlier, that you know that Hashem operates not based on your deservingness, but because he is good and he cares about you, he wants to benefit you, and it does not necessarily depend on your earning it. So you can rest, be at peace, be at ease, that you don't have to be busy worrying about, well, if tomorrow I want food and I want health and I want shalom bayis, and I want this to work out and that to work out, so I have to be busy calculating exactly what am I doing for this, what am I doing for that. Now, we'll see later that this doesn't mean that it's necessarily a free ride. But, you know, let's briefly elaborate on this. He does say later that bitachon, if a person is not... Here he's saying that Hashem's chesed to you is unconditional. You don't have to worry about having to earn it. And therefore, you can be at ease. Later, he says that, hey, if a person is defying the word of Hashem, if a person is not listening to Hashem, then his bitachon is not justified, because you're angering Hashem, he's going to punish you. You can't say, I'll I'll flaunt Hashem and I'll still have bitachon. I'll trust that He'll take care of me well. No, if you're gonna defy Him, He will take measures. So we have to understand how the two come together. But the idea is something that we'll really have to elaborate more on later. But the idea is there isn't a conflict between the two. The point that he's making here is not that you don't need to be deserving. You do, but what that means is you have to make sure to keep in Hashem's good graces. But there's two ways of understanding that. A person who learns Chovos HaLevavos and really comes to internalize that for every breath you take, every piece of food you eat, you're so indebted to Hashem, may start thinking that, and in a sense, the Chovos HaLevavos, in a sense, he wants you to think that way, that for a breath that I took, wow, now I'm in debt. I have to figure out how I'm paying for it. If I ate a meal, now I'm in debt. I have to figure out how to pay for it. And maybe there are formula to these things, meaning in order to be deserving of a meal, perhaps you have to daven at least two-thirds of your Shemana Esrei with Kavana. And this can throw a person into a frenzy of calculations and tallying and saying, you know, for all the different things that I need, I have to make sure that I'm justifying this and justifying that. That the Chovos HaLevavos tells you, forget it. Hashem is not expecting you. He's not handing you a bill, and He's not expecting you to necessarily provide Him with a detailed payment for each of the good things he did for you. What He does expect of you is to, in a general way, make sure that you're trying to please Him. That, yeah, you can't be ignoring His will. You can't be just flaunting Him and say, yeah, but He's still going to do what's best for me. No, that's not justified. But you, the idea is that at your level, according to what could be expected of you, you're doing your best to perform Hashem's will. Then you don't have to worry about, well, but how am I going to justify this need of mine and how am I going to justify that need of mine? That don't worry about. That don't worry about. That once you are doing yours, trying to keep in Hashem's good graces, then just trust that He will do for you because of His meed of goodness, not necessarily because you are formally earning each particular detail on the list. So that's what he says here. In this sense, he comes and he says, if you're busy worrying about, hey, I'm doing everything I can in the service of Hashem, but I have a very critical appointment coming up, and how am I going to earn that it should all turn out okay? What would I have to pay for a successful doctor's visit? He says, no. And here we read, Ashishi sheyeda rav tuvo elikim ala adam. You should really appreciate Hashem's goodness to you. Remember that He began benefiting you simply because of His midah of chesed, before you were deserving in any way. When did he start taking care of you? When did He start providing your needs? The moment you were conceived, right? And since then, He was constantly showering benefits on you. Were you busy earning it the whole time? At every stage of your development as a fetus, right? When the eyes needed to start develop, did you do anything to earn that? And when the kidneys needed to start developing, did you do anything to earn that? No. Hashem did all that. Hashem did all that for you because of His goodness, because of His care for you, without you having to earn it. So don't be too concerned trying to figure out with each a particular need or want that you have, how precisely am I going to earn it? The way you earn it is in a general way, trying to please Him in the best way you can, which you should be doing anyways. So, Hashem began benefiting you, not because He needed anything out of you, and not because you were earning it. It was simply out of His generosity, out of His midah of chesed, as we've discussed in the Shaar HaBchina of this Sefer. Right, we spent a lot of time on that earlier. So that's number six. to understand that Hashem does chesed, he benefits people not in the context of a business deal, but because of his chesed. Hashvi. And number seven is, this is, if I'll say it in short, here it's interesting because he comes and gives a whole different twist on the way he presented it earlier. Earlier, what he said was that part of Bitachon is understanding that Hashem is conducting your life from beginning to end. Meaning you can rest assured, you can completely let go of your material concerns with the understanding that it's not just that Hashem is, you know, taking on your case now for the next week or now for the next month, but there may be things beyond that that I should be thinking about now. But the understanding that Hashem is busy conducting your life inclusively from the moment you were conceived until the very final moment and even beyond that. And therefore you can completely rest assured that you're in good hands in a very, very comprehensive way. You don't have to worry about, well, who's going to care for me when Hashem already, lets me out of his care. No. Right now, what he's doing is part of a program that encompasses your entire life. And here he expresses that in a little bit of a different way, giving us some interesting perspective here. So he says as follows. Hashvi, premise number seven is, she is ba'aloi. A person should understand, ki yesh lekol ha'avayis ba'olam hazeh. Me'etzem u'mikre gvul yadua. Everything in this world, whether it's a tangible item, something that exists, or something that happens, an event, has a very clear predestined beginning and end, and it's also very predestined in every sense, meaning as follows. Lo yosif v'lo yigra al mashigoza abayri yisbarach. There will be no more or no less than what Hashem decided in advance, bekamusoi veichusoi uzmanoi umakoimoi, in its quantity and its quality and its time and in its place. What that means is, for example, let's say chalila, it's decided that a person will become ill. So you have to understand that this is not haphazard. It is how it happened, when it happened. It's all exactly decided by Hashem. Exactly how long it will be. Exactly to what extent it will be. Meaning, how ill will the person be? Quite how not good will he feel? Will it be bearable? Will it be borderline? Will it be beyond bearable? Chalila. All these things are exactly predetermined. I'll just give a couple of examples of this. We're told that, we know that Yosef was sold as a slave to Arabs, Midianites, whatever it is, and he was taken in a, when he was first taken into captivity, he was put into a wagon. What were these people? Who were these people who had bought him as a slave? They were spice dealers. And when they loaded him up onto their wagon, it was a wagon full of spices and fragrant herbs. So the Mefarshim make the point of noting, Chazal make the point of noting, that look at Hashem's chesed to Yosef. He could have been stuck into a wagon carrying dung, but that's not what happened. He was put into a wagon that was carrying fragrant herbs, so it was pleasant to him in that way. So the question that's asked is, he was just sold by his brothers as a slave. It's the worst. First of all, it's a terrible fate to be sold as a slave, doesn't know when he's going to see his family again, and also think of the feelings of betrayal. You know, and we're talking about the great chesed, hey, he's in a wagon full of fragrant spices. But the answer is, the Bali Musa say, they point out on the contrary, of course, Yosef was put now into the beginning of a terrible ordeal. It's true. But the point is exactly the point that the Chovetz Chovos is making here. Even when Hashem decides to put a person through an ordeal, Chalila, the extent of it is measured exactly. And here, Hashem said, yes, Yosef is going to be going through a very challenging, long period right now. But the suffering is measured to a T, and it does not include an unpleasant traveling experience. That is not part of the Gezerah, and therefore, on the contrary, Hashem is actually showing him a certain sign of, I'm with you even now. And therefore, yes, I'm putting you through an ordeal, but look, the spices here are going to be fragrant now, because that's not a part of the Gezerah, and here, I'm going to take care of you and even pamper you. So this is the point that he's making. So also, he says everything, when Hashem causes anything to happen, something good, something bad, or even something parav, Hashem decrees that a certain butterfly is going to exist. So Hashem plans in advance exactly how long is that butterfly going to exist, and exactly in what area. What area is it going to affect? This is something quite relevant now, right? When people, when we simply don't know what's going to hit where, in terms of bidud, in terms of Chalila getting infected, a person never knows what's going to hit where. We have to bear in mind that this also is a gzerah that Hashem brought upon the world. He has his plan, exactly how long this is going to be in effect. This is all planned. It's all predestined. We have no idea what it is. Exactly what areas is it going to encompass? You know, different areas, they talk about red areas and orange areas and green areas. These are all part of Hashem's plan. It's shifting. Yeah, right now this gzera is going to encompass this area, not that area. That area, not this area. To an extent, it depends on people's conduct. But to an extent, it doesn't. So often you see Hadafka in areas or with people who are extremely cautious and it hits there. We have to do our part, but we have to remember also that Hashem is busy doing a number in his world. And also, in terms of the intensity of it, we're seeing how it so varies the way it hits and how it hits. It's just such a classic example of how when Hashem brings something about, how carefully measured it is in terms of what it encompasses, how much, how long, the extent, etc. Okay, we're in mid-sentence here, but Bli Neder, we'll continue tomorrow. Okay.